Dolly McCarthy Show.
This show is made possible by the following sponsors.
Clark's Car Care in Naperville, themed after the infamous Clark Griswold vacation movie. Enjoy fresh popcorn in their kid-friendly waiting room while taking a load off in one of their massage chairs. They'll be emission experts and have been for over 10 years, according to the EPA listing. Conveniently located right next door to the Naperville Emissions Testing Center. Matt and his longtime staff will take care of any of your car needs, from a funny noise in the engine to factory maintenance needs. They are the only repair shop that offers a free roadside assistance membership with any repair. They believe in service that you swear by, not at. Mention the Dolly McCarthy Show for a one-time special of $17.95 for an oil change. That's $17.95 and $27.95 for a synthetic. Clark's Car Care, happy cars, happy owners. Arthur Murray Dance in Naperville and in Oak Brook, another proud sponsor of the Dolly McCarthy Show. They didn't invent dancing, just the best way to teach it. Check out arthurmurraynaperville.com and mention the Dolly McCarthy Show, and your first dance lesson is absolutely free. The Naperville Trolley and Tours has four beautiful trolleys for weddings, bar hops, birthday parties, light tours, nat and bar mitzvahs, and more. It's always more fun on the Naperville Trolley. Ding, ding. Sullivan Steakhouse, another proud sponsor of the Dolly McCarthy Show, offering guests a unique steakhouse experience with delectable food, fun, cocktails, and swinging live music, enticing their guests to untie, unwind, and uncork. Bricconi's, it's the kind of food your mama wanted you to eat. They're a small business that's family-owned and operated. Check out Bricconi's.com or give them a call, 630-717-9530. Do you want to keep your home or business safe? Go to NapervilleAlarm.com. They have everything from 24/7 alarm monitoring to home automation through your smartphone. Monitoring starts at a low price of $19 a month with no contracts. Check out NapervilleAlarm.com, keeping Chicagoland safe since 2000. And the Dolly McCarthy Show is also sponsored by Naper Settlement, where history comes to play. Check out NaperSettlement.org. Is purchasing or refinancing your home part of your spring or summer plans? If so, call the experienced mortgage professionals at Homebridge Financial Services for a free pre-qualification. Interest rates remain at historic lows and home values are on the rise. Their mission is to simplify the mortgage process, and they're proud to be your partner for the path ahead. Call them at 630-404-4272 to get started today. Again, that number, 630-404-4272, Homebridge Financial Services. And the Dolly McCarthy Show is also proudly sponsored by First Comes Fitness. Do you feel unhappy every morning as you get to rest, looking at your body? You want to make some changes? Do you look at old pictures and wish that you were that size again? You know what I'm talking about. That size again, ladies? Well, it may seem impossible to you, but it's not. If you want something, Jocelyn Shook will help you work for it, and you can do it together. Jocelyn Shook from First Comes Fitness is available to help you. She's not only a physician assistant, but also a health and fitness coach. Jocelyn Shook with First Comes Fitness can assist you in helping you lose those extra pounds that have been adding up over the years. Jocelyn can help you get into that pre-baby weight clothes. If you're looking to get stronger, I know I always am, Jocelyn Shook has great solutions for you. If this sounds like something you want to do or accomplish, she is the right person for you. Check out First Comes Fitness on the web or on Facebook. You can message her to schedule a free consultation. Just mention the Dolly McCarthy Show. Oh, yes, we are all about the free stuff on here. In fact, I forgot to mention this too. Clark's Car Care, they're giving away free oil changes this week to all of my listeners who call in or leave a Facebook message. Tell me what it is that you love about the Dolly McCarthy Show. What is it about the good show that you like? And I would love to give these oil changes out. That's $17.95 value, or $27.95 per synthetic. Check out Clark's Car Care.
Ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the Dolly McCarthy Show.
I love my Aunt Dolly.
And I love you too, Jakey. Hey, everybody. Hey, Jakey. Hey, what's the good word? Welcome to the program, everybody. I am your host, Dolly McCarthy, where every week, you know, I bring you good guests, good news, and at least one good laugh. and I won't disappoint this week. I promise you. We've got some good guests on the show. I want to do a shout-out and welcome to the program to all of my new listeners on 1010 News Talk, those on WCKG 1530 AM, Toueyville Internet Radio, Blog Talk Radio, Rivet Radio Network in Chicago, and to all those that follow along on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter at Good Dolly Show. Thanks, everybody, for always tuning in, listening in, giving me your two cents. I always like that. I want to know what you're thinking. This is a free country. Lay it on me. Tell me what it is you want to tell me. But let's try to keep it good and positive. You know, speaking of good and positive, we want to talk about being good to yourself. This is February. It's the beginning of February, folks. February is Heart Health Month, and we're going to be talking to some experts today, actually one expert today, about keeping that heart healthy, keeping that little ticker going, and why it's so important to know your numbers. What does that mean? Well, we're going to talk to an expert on this in the last half hour of the show, and find out what it is that we need to do to stay healthy. So I've got tips coming up for you on that. As I mentioned, February is Heart Health Month because it is the month of love, Valentine's Day. For those of you that are not aware, you guys out there, I'm not picking on you guys. Some of you girls don't know. It's February 14th. Do you remember that date? It's always a good idea if you don't have a significant other, a loved one. I hate saying a significant other. I shouldn't say that. That sounds weird because we all have significant others, whether it be a child, a mother, father, sister, brother. Remember someone that you love. Let's reach out to them. Give them a hug. Send them a nice message. If they live in another state, how about sending them some flowers, thinking of you? You don't have to be in love. And maybe you're kind of bummed that hasn't happened for you yet. Maybe you're in that situation. Well, put out good things out there. And I believe when you do that, good things will come back to you. So remember, this is the month of love and heart health month. And later on the show, we're going to be talking about that, as I mentioned before. I got a couple announcements before we get to my first guest. Our first guest is the author of a book called Entitlemania, How Not to Spoil Your Kids and What to Do If You Have. Oh, my goodness. It's not too late. we're all guilty of that a little bit. Maybe a lot for some of you. I don't know. But definitely I know that I'm guilty of it. As a divorced mother of five, I am definitely guilty of it. But I'm probably better than most about not spoiling my kids, probably because it's in my nature. I'm one of 14 kids, and I kind of have done what my parents did. I figured if I turned out okay, fairly okay, they will too. So a lot of the things that I do, I repeat what my parents do. But there's a lot of things that I do that they didn't do. So anyway, we're going to talk to author Richard Watts and talk about his new book just released, Entitlemania, How Not to Spoil Your Kids and What to Do If You Have. That's just released, and we'll talk to him in just a few minutes. But first, this is The Good Show on Blog Talk Radio. Saturday, February 18th, Dolly McCarthy Show is proud to be a part of this. There's 14 show choirs from around the country that will be performing at Naperville North High School's all-day show choir competition called Clash of the Sequence. If you've never been, this event is amazing family entertainment. Great songs, cool choreography, and so many talented young people. Clash of the Sequence will inspire you. It'll inspire any young person who loves performing and will be hugely entertaining for everyone, no matter what their age. Tickets are for sale at the door. They're $15, but that is for an all-day event. You can just see one show choir after another. Go to their website for more information, www.theclashcomp.com. That's www.theclashcomp.com. Clash of the Sequence. That's going to be so much fun to see. Our friends over at the Brightside Theater, they've been working really hard on a new production, Moon Over Buffalo. Yep, Moon Over Buffalo is coming out March 10th through the 26th. Fridays and Saturdays, 8 p.m., Sundays at 3 p.m. You don't want to miss this production, that's for sure. They're performing in historic downtown Naperville district, and this is their sixth season. I can't believe it already, six seasons. They've been on with the Don McCarthy Show for about 3 years. We've been talking about the Bright Side Theater and getting you all familiar with it. Julie Kornack is my dear friend, the founding member of the Bright Side Theater. You don't want to miss this classic Broadway show, Moon Over Buffalo, performing at the theater at Miley Swallow Hall at North Central College. This is near historic downtown Naperville, March 10th through the 26th, and tickets are now on sale. Go to brightsidetheater.com, or you could also call 630-447-6897. That's 630-447-8497. Moon Over Buffalo. What is that show about anyway? Oh, let me tell you a little bit about it real quick. It's a play that centers on the husband and wife acting team, George and Charlotte Hay, two fading stars of the 1950s. In an attempt to keep their careers afloat, the couple produced two plays simultaneously, Noel Coward's Private Lives and Serrano de, oh, this is a French word, I can't pronounce it, Bergerac. Suddenly, George receives word that Hollywood director Frank Capra, we all know Frank Capra from It's a Wonderful Life, he may be coming to see a matinee performance and giving them one last chance at fame. That, of course, if they can remember what play they are doing. It sounds cute. In short, everything that could go wrong does in this side-splitting backstage farce full of comedy, romance, words play, and plenty of doors. Interesting. Moon Over Buffalo. I've never seen this one, so that'll be something to look forward to for sure. Okay, we're about to get to our first guest. I don't want to keep you waiting too long, but I do have just a couple more announcements to make. If you would like to be a part of the Dodgin' for Lou Gehrig's Disease Dodgeball Tournament, it's the 6th annual one. Can you believe this? We've been a part of it, the Ellen McCarthy Show, for the past 3 years. I'm thrilled to be emceeing this again. All takes place Friday, February 24th at North Central College. Or I'm sorry, no, not North Central College. Got that wrong. That's Naperville North High School out in Naperville. And this is all happening, as I mentioned, February 24th. The teams are filling up quickly. They've extended the deadline until Friday, February 3rd, or until 50 teams have filled. You know, this is a tournament that's near and dear to my heart, and this is all in honor of Denise DiMarzo, who is the wife, or was the wife, of Chris Benio. Denise just passed away this past July. We've talked about her on the show often. So this year is really going to be an emotional one because this is the first year without Denise. So please keep Mr. Chris Benio and all of their girls in your prayers. And I just, you know, Denise has just been an incredible role model for all of us. We miss her tremendously. So please come out and support this. If you don't want to be a part of the team, you could still come out, pay in a small admission fee. You could buy a T-shirt, wear it proudly throughout the year. You can participate in some of the fun things they have in the hallways. They've got also things to buy. But it's all to benefit and find a cure for ALS. ALS takes away the freedom to walk, to talk, to run, to dance, to laugh, to hug, to eat, to breathe, and we need to fight to give those freedoms back and give people a lifetime to live unlimitedly. And this event is all about, finding, raising money to find a cure for one day to cure Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS. Okay, so again, that's February 24th. I hope you guys will all come out, as you have. Thousands of you have come out in the years past, and I so appreciate being supportive of this group, hearing about it through the Dolly McCarthy Show and coming out and supporting it that way really is just so meaningful and means a lot to me. So, okay, one more final thing. The Lustgarten Foundation reached out to me. They're giving me a heads up. Their 7th annual pancreatic cancer research walk is going to take place on Sunday, July 23rd. And that's all set. We'll give you information about how to participate in the research walk. But if you would like to sponsor it, please contact them directly at 866-789-1000. This is a really, it's really a fun walk. Lots of food there. The mayor of Naperville comes out and talks to everybody. Last year, over 18,000 people participated in 35 walks spanning 18 states, and they raised $3.5 million. So let's keep it going for pancreatic research, pancreatic cancer research. Please be a part of this walk on Sunday, July 23rd. As you're looking ahead, if you're anything like me, I'm a mom of five, and we're already planning our camp. So maybe avoid that July 23rd and have you know, make the opportunity to come out and support research and all the people who are suffering from this. Pancreatic cancer, and those families affected by it as well. So maybe make an effort to avoid camps that week and join us on the walk. How about that? Oh, we would love that. Thank you guys so much for your support.
Good news, good guests, and at least one good laugh. The Dolly McCarthy Show.
Yeah, good show.
The Dolly McCarthy Show.
Well, we are going to be talking to Richard Watts. I'm going to get him on the line right now. He just released a new book called Entitlemania. How about that one for a title? How Not to Spoil Your Kids and What to Do If You Have. I guess it's not too late. I have a 20-year-old. Is it too late? No, I'm kidding. He is not spoiled by any means, this child. You know, we have our moments. So, Richard Watts, I want to welcome you to the show. This is a refreshing and practical book that parents in every income level or bracket can find value in. Richard is a veteran advisor and serves as legal counsel to some of America's most successful families. Ooh, I want to know who those successful families are. Are we talking about – who are we talking about there? And in Entitlemania, his book, he reveals an incredibly unique and insightful perspective to the increasingly pervasive issue of entitlement in this generation of young people. Wow. This looks like a very interesting book. I haven't gotten my hands on it yet. I was just introduced to this book, and an opportunity came up for Richard to come on the show this week. So I'm really thrilled to have you on the show, Richard. What inspired you to write this book? Do you have children of your own, or just observing kids around you? What really inspired you to do this?
Yes, Dolly, thank you very much, and thank you for having me. The reason that I wrote the book was is that, you know, in my world of my day job is managing some of these incredible families. These are very successful both financially and otherwise. And plus my own kids. I've got kids that are now having children, young grandchildren. And you just begin to see that everybody is struggling at all levels. People that have already got grown kids and what to do and what does the future look like in terms of how much do I leave them and what's too much, and then on the young side, young people looking for guidance to say, how come I'm wandering, and what did I do wrong, and how do I now, what do I do for my kids, and there just seems to be an incredible amount of attention, and so this book is really geared to just try to focus on what you can do to help work through that.
Yeah, and so, okay, so you're saying that people have, you know, around you are saying, what am I doing wrong, what is it that, you know, points to them, there's something wrong. What are our kids today doing that are making us well-intentioned parents? are we enabling this me generation of children?
Yes, well, there's two segments here. So if you're looking at younger mm-hmm. parents, their focus now at this point is completely on children, on their children. And their focus is 24/7 that way and kind of in line with your month this month about being good to yourself, the kids so often are coming first, and the parents aren't taking care of themselves. And so the focus always becomes, you know, the giving to the children and providing every need and helping them get along, and there's rarely enough focus on the health of the parents, which, according to my book, comes first. The parents have to be healthy first. They have to take care of themselves first.
Oh, I agree with you on that. That's for sure. So give me an example of ways that parents today. I've got my youngest is 12, so I kind of fall in that category, but I also have my oldest is 20, so I'm in the other category as well. And every child, you know, we treat them all the same way, only differently. Isn't that right? When
yes,
you're in your own
yes.
family, though. That's for sure. So tell us some of the things that perhaps, you know, we're making, mistakes as parents in not taking care of ourselves and in
the primary issue really is what your kids are in your home. I remember my father saying to me that, mm-hmm. you know, kids are guests in your home, and that seemed so radical at the time, and I didn't understand that. And later on in life, I began to realize that that I really do have to recognize that we come first and they come second. And so the mistakes that are made oftentimes is that parents begin to enable, these are primarily young parents, they begin to enable and try to bridge the gap from one struggle to another to try to help the kids struggle less, to get along toward the goals that are established by oftentimes mom and dad, without the kids kind of finding their own true nature of what they really want to do. And so moms and dads are taking away the pain and they're taking away the struggle and not allowing the kids to really feel the results
mm-hmm.
of difficulty and struggle in their life.
Oh, that is so true. That is so true. And we all have struggled growing up. We know how awful that feels. And we know that our parents I'm from another generation. Our parents didn't help us while we were struggling very well. It was just get your homework done. You know, you got a ball game tonight. Find a way to get to the ballpark. You know, now parents, we don't want them to have to walk 3 miles and struggle to walk to the ball game. It would be awful if we didn't show up to see them, not to see them play. It would be just unheard of today to not have parents there. And I'm not knocking parents today because I'm one of them too. I'm at the games, and I'm not beating myself up if I don't make every single game. And I realize my kids are going to be okay. It's really, I've told them, okay, I'm getting on my own soapbox. I better stop doing that. I do that sometimes, Richard. But you're so right. We don't want them to struggle.
Well, and the other thing is, too, is many people don't differentiate between being their child's parent and being their child's friend. And oftentimes we confuse the two, and oftentimes friend wins instead of parent first. And so part of that is having the courage to go to your child at whatever age that is and say, you can have lots of best friends. I don't want to be your best friend. I really can only be the one and only parent that I can be to you. And that's going to be difficult. You're going to be contrary to my thinking. We're going to argue at times. You're not going to like what I have to say. And in younger kids, you're not going to like my decision of what you're going to do. But that's what I'm going to do as a parent, and I'm going to follow through with that. Somehow parents feel that if it being a parent injures the friendship, it's hands off.
Yeah, I mean, why are parents afraid of not, you know, afraid of not being able to be their kid's best buddy? Why do they all of a sudden, why does this generation of parents want to be, you know, like you said, best friends with their kids? It's good to be caring and loving because it's a step in the right direction. It's, you know, it's always a good thing. But you're right. There are a lot of parents out there that want to be best friends with their kids and will sacrifice, you know, allowing them to learn and struggle and allowing them to be on their own and, you know, stand up on their own and figure things out on their own because they want to be their buddies. And then they end up doing the work. The parents end up doing the work. But I'm wondering, why do parents do that with this generation especially? We weren't raised that way.
Well, Dolly, I think you said it earlier in the show. I heard you say, you know, your kids, you had thought you'd done pretty well because you kind of had done what your parents did. Your parents modeled a behavior that however, whether it was friendship or not, it created a success for you and taught you that you could make it on your own. And I also think that there was a generation gap here thing that happened to the generation of parents where we are now, when we have kids that are in these 20s and 30s and that sort of thing, where our parents were kind of, they really were absent a lot of times. They really weren't living our lives. They were living their lives. We had to fit as children into the family life, and the parents did what they did, and we kind of followed along. They picked the vacations. They decided where they're going. My parents didn't come to my track meets and my swimming meets and those sort of things. But somewhere along the line, we changed the dynamic where we felt our parents didn't love us. Somehow we felt our parents were more parents than they were friends, and we weren't going to let that happen with our kids. Now talking about the millennials at this point, raising the millennials. So we turned around and said, we're going to love our kids so much. We're going to be involved in what they do. And what happened is we lost the comparison and the understanding between love and enabling. Love is love, and you can still have tough love. Enabling means I want to make it really good for them, because the last thing I want to do is have my kids feel about me as a parent the way some parents of today felt about their prior generation parents.
Oh, that makes sense. I see. Yeah. That totally makes sense to me. I get it now. That's what we did. We were like, well, my parents never went to the game, so... But even though I turned out okay, I probably could have been extraordinary had they showed up to a few of my games. So I'm going to go to all my kids' games. And then what happens? You know, and so then what the message that our kids are getting is what? Then this new generation of children, what are they getting then?
I'm not sure they
They're
got
all
a
this
whole
love.
Message. I'm not sure they got, Dolly, a whole message. I think that, you know, you remember what a connect the dot drawing looks like with numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And you take your pencil and you go around all the different dots, and at the end you have a picture. I think the kids of that generation, we have said, okay, well, listen, let's start with you. Put your pencil on number 1 to see what your picture looks like, and go 1 to 2, and, of course, there's a learning between 1 and 2 and 3, and these are life lessons. And we said, you know something, you're on 3, I can help you just skip and go to 7. And then they go 7, 8, and 9 on their little dot to dot. And we say, we can take 9 to 13. We can skip that because we'll help you. Instead of you having to ford each of those gaps, we'll help you. So I think what happens to kids nowadays is we've helped them get along. And in the process of not allowing them to really skin their knees and feel the difficulties of failure and the difficulties of being coming in last and all of those things that hurt and motivate, we now have this dot-to-dot drawing that's missing numbers and missing pencil points. So without allowing them to really have their own life, I think oftentimes they get to the end and we haven't given them a picture that they can use as a point of reference.
Yeah. We're too busy trying to help them feel good about themselves, that we're not allowing them to learn how to feel good on their own about themselves, feel pride in themselves on their own.
Right.
You know, a lot of parents today are giving a lot of things to their kids. And you mentioned talking about giving experiences in your book. Why is that more important, these experiences, than things? I mean, kids want things. We want a car, and parents are giving kids the car. That might be a separate issue. I'd like to talk about that, too. That's something that's so acceptable now, is buying your child their first car. And I feel like we're missing – I remember the pride. I still remember the pride and the joy I felt when I drove my first car off the lot. And I still remember the dealership and the feel and the smell and everything. And I don't think kids today are experiencing that. And that is so sad, because that really has motivated me. That's one of the things that motivated me throughout my life, and I'm sure my generation as well. So I'm wondering what these kids are – what's motivating them to move forward besides
– Well, remember, a lot of these things that when you hit the ground, when you have struggle, when you're – you know, that pride you had came from struggle in your car. And one of the chapters in Entitlemania is exactly that. Pride is not transferable. So we as parents look at our kids and we say, you know, goodness gracious, I remember my first car, it cost nothing. I had to fix it. It broke. The engine broke. I couldn't drive it for 3 weeks because it needed a new engine job, and on and on and on. And then it broke down here. And you remember that terrible struggle. But from that, you were motivated to continue on. And by the time you got something that you could drive with any amount of pride, you were so proud. And yet when dad goes and buys daughter, 16-year-old daughter, hey, you've done great, you got all B's or better in school, here's a new whatever the amount of money is, it could be a $15,000 car, here's a $30,000 car, he looks at that and he feels she's going to look in that car and smell the same smell you smelled when you were so proud of yourself with that car. And yet she throws her dirty soccer clothes in, or he throws his football gear, never takes it out, never cleans it. And the dad, mom start to complain, you know, look at you, you know, negative comments. You don't take care of stuff. You don't appreciate this stuff. Where did you get this sense of entitlement? When in fact it all comes from, which is the premise of the book, everything you give your child, you take something away. And so I'm not saying necessarily don't give anything, but I'm saying at least ask the questions and explore what you're taking away when you give something like that.
Yeah, I really like that. Pride, and pride is not transferable. That is so true. That is really powerful. I love that. Talk about those giving experiences, not things, to your children as well.
So experiences to me are just something that are not consumables in the classic sense. They're not something where, you know, enabling can be in the form of material things. You give them something, enabling can be, you know, helping them skip steps, enabling can be taking away struggle. But experiences are something different. And I'm not so big on experiences that are extravagant, but I'm talking about life experiences, things where they can go experience something very unique, whether it be mission work or if they're going and taking some sort of a wilderness type of a trip off, you know, with the families, probably better at younger years. But I look at people investing, parents should be investing in memories. They should literally forget saving up for the new car, and they should say, what I'm going to do is I'm going to look forward, and I'm going to create an investment in thinking about something that would be such a wonderful experience for our family to do, that I'm going to map that out. In other words, what would be something 10 years from now I'd like to look back and say, you know, we took our kids, we all took a camping trip to Northern California or Alaska or whatever it is you can do, but what is it you could manage and what could you design that wouldn't cost an arm and a leg for you, but that would be this investment in a memory? And then just execute. And that means put it together, and it doesn't matter what income level you're at, all of those are attainable. And what you find to have is, what you realize you have later is, instead of bank accounts, good or bad, high or low, and the assets you might acquire, I've got this whole new asset list on my balance sheet of my life with my family that says memories, investment in memories. These are the things we did that were experiences, and those are the things the kids always remember. They never remember the car. In fact, it takes them down. It actually takes them down a notch. The memories that they do with kids, with family that are experiences, seem to be, when you grow up, the thing they come back and they remember, these little insignificant small things that you did, which for us, you know, sometimes they're done accidental, but I say you can plan them. You can put a little more effort into investing in those memories.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. And those giving experiences, we should point out, that doesn't mean like a 10-day cruise around the Mediterranean.
and I would tell you that to that point, we have done some nice things in our family. It's almost sometimes discouraging to me that when I was in the YMCA program with all three of my boys, that no matter what I've done from a really extravagant trip standpoint, they always go back to the, you know, $12 weekend campouts in the dirt when we were doing hot dogs. And I think, yeah, but what about the trip that we took when we went to, you know, New York or something? No, Dad, that wasn't it. It was the trip where we dumped the hot dogs into the dirt and you made us eat them. That kind of thing.
That's sweet. All right, now, so we've been talking to author Richard Watts. His new book is out. It's called Entitlemania, How Not to Spoil Your Kids and What to Do If You Have. Let's say we've spoiled our kids. What do you say? How do we, you know, how do we go back? How do we rewind? Is it too late for a 12-year-old boy, a 10-year-old boy, a 20-year-old boy, from a parent's perspective, to get them to help them not be so spoiled or spoiled?
Two parts, Dolly, to that in my mind. Mm-hmm. First of all, you know, there's always some amount of help. This is not a matter of degree. You can't expect kids to go back to the perfect child, but you're trying to, right? It's not about you being able to brag about your kids being unspoiled and unentitled. It's about them having a life and them having their own life. And so, you know, I look at kids that are at a certain age. I don't consider 18 or 20 to be anybody that's unreachable. I've had a very good friend of mine that lives in Washington, D.C., that heard me speak a couple of years ago on a similar topic, and he called, his son called, like he always did from college, and he said, "Dad, look it, I don't have my card with me. I'm at a pizza parlor. Can you PayPal me $25 because my friends are, and I are all there?" And Dad, having heard me and talked to me, said, "Son, no." And he said, the son said, "Dad, what's up? I mean, come on." Now, Dad, son doesn't understand, but he said, "No. No wiring money. You had, you're out late. You should have had your money. Go figure it out." The answer is no. And the response that he got that unwound out of that was his son later learned that when he was checking into the food price and whatnot, they figured this out, but he actually looked back into the food meal plan that he had at college and didn't even realize that he had lunches included. And he had been, he found out that he had been eating out lunch because he didn't think it was included. He called his dad. He said, "Dad, great news. I don't have to spend money on lunches anymore, and I can't believe it, but this were included." Of course, his dad wanted to reach through the phone and choke him. But the fact is he learned something out of that, and from then on, he never called his dad. They talk about it and joke about it, how they worked their way out of that. And so that's an example, and I would just say the other example, if you get to the extreme when your kids are 40 or 50, I deal with a lot of that, and they're ready to, parents are concerned about how much am I going to leave my children, I would say that's an area of my expertise that continues every day, and that I would tell you that, you know, that issue of leaving your children money is a ticking time bomb, which means you have to be very, very careful how you do it. And I'm talking, you know, even if you're dividing up $200,000 or $300,000, I've watched many times in my career families go to war over what they feel they're entitled to and what they're not entitled to. And so parents have to really ask questions about what does this look like. And, of course, if you get into the areas of significant wealth, $1 million, $1.5 million, $2 million, that kind of family, which I deal with every day, you can literally damage the generation to come if you're not careful on how you do
wow.
that.
Yeah, wow. Well, we've been talking to Richard Watts. He's the author of the new book, interesting, Entitlemania, How Not to Spoil Your Kids and What to Do If You Have. Boy, we could go on and on. I got a lot of things to talk about with this one. Plus, I also, as a parent, want to be reassured. Am I doing the right thing by not running to the school? My daughter does this at least 2-3 times a month, forgets her lunch. And I always run to the school and drop it off. Well, I decided I'm not doing it anymore, and I because she's not learning. So I felt pretty bad. I didn't go to the school. She went a whole day without eating. Now, isn't that a horrible parent? That's like child abuse to some people, to some parents. But the big picture was I was trying to get her to feel the pains in my stomach that I felt when I forgot my lunch. My mother couldn't go because she had a house full of little kids. She couldn't go. I remember that. And I, you know what? When I felt that pain, I never forgot my lunch after that.
Exactly.
So I got a tool to teach your child. Same thing with if they can't find their uniform for baseball. I mean, we're tearing up the house here. Well, you know what? You can't play because you don't have your uniform. It's you got to give your kids, you have to have the courage, right, and tell me if I'm wrong, to let them have natural consequences. And don't let other parents make you feel bad or that you're torturing or hurting your children because you're teaching them lessons in life at a very young age. This is my take. I guess I'm probably, I feel like I'm the minority, though, by giving my children natural consequences. And it's sad because I'm not saying this is the right way to do it. I'm not saying I'm the best parent on the earth. I make mistakes, too. But I don't find enough parents that are doing, letting their children have natural consequences to their actions. You know, they're always backing them up and always, and never letting them, you know, even looking for their uniform. The parents are looking for the uniform, and the kids are sitting there waiting. You know, it's interesting how things have really changed. So I think this book is going to be interesting. I can't wait to read it. I can't wait to get my hands on it. This was a last-minute guest, Richard Watts. Richard, thank you for coming on. Such an interesting topic. And like I said,
been,
I have another
guest. It's
been
a pleasure, Dolly. Thank you.
On hold right now, but it's really been nice talking to you. Good luck with the new book. Your website, entitlemania.com. Where can people find this book?
Everywhere. It's at Barnes & Noble and Amazon and anywhere. You just click online, Entitlemania, and it's there.
Fantastic. Well, thank you. Richard Watts, the book again, Entitled Mania, How Not to Spoil Your Kids and What to Do If You Have. Thanks again, Richard.
Take care, Dolly. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good news, good guests, and at least one good laugh. The Dolly McCarthy Show.
Yeah, it's a good show.
The Dolly McCarthy Show.
God, did I get on my soapbox a little bit there? I don't know what the deal is. I guess I guess that's part of being a single parent. It's like I don't have the ability to buy them a car. I don't have the ability to, when they call me up and ask me, Mom, I need this, this, and this, I can maybe do some. So what happens is I'm reminded of when I was a child, when I did everything on my own. You know, my parents were great. Pete and Lou Caravet. I'm one of 14 kids. They did the best they could. We had food on the table every night. Some nights we had bread and butter. That's okay. At least we had bread and butter. But I'm not saying I suffered, but my parents really did a good job of giving me experiences and like Richard Watts said, pride is not transferable. So the feeling that I got when I drove off the car lot, I want my children to experience that too. And they're not going to experience that unless you help them. And that means being strong as a parent and not always coddling them and giving them what they want and every time they turn around and ask for something. And that includes even $5 here, $5 there. You got to stop that because it won't end. It'll keep going. And then they're not learning money management or holding off. They ask for $5 Thursday. Okay, do you want $5 tonight or do you want the $5 over the weekend when you know you want to go out with your friends? So it may seem very trivial to people. Oh, what's $5? But it's really the point, the big picture here. Okay, I feel like I'm on a soapbox. I have so much to talk about with that. My heart is heavy. I have a big heart for my kids. I don't want to see our children struggle, but they got to struggle to become amazing citizens. And that's what we want. We want to have pride in our children. And, it's okay. We're not best friends, but we're close and they're loved and they love us. And we are parenting. We are not buddies. Okay, I feel like I'm on this soapbox. Okay, let's segue right into February is Heart Health Month. And we wanted to talk about, how we can stay healthy. Now that we're getting older here, and one of my guests on the show right now, joining us now, is Jennifer Nabong. Jennifer, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hello, Dolly.
Oh, hi, Jennifer. She's from Minute Clinic. She's a Minute Clinic nurse practitioner, and your Chicagoland manager. Are you Chicagoland manager of CVS? Did I get that right?
Yes, you did. I am the Chicagoland manager for the Minute Clinics inside selected CVS stores and also Target locations.
Oh, fantastic. So, well, thank you for taking the time to come on the show. As I mentioned many times, February is Heart Health Month, and you're overseeing some 50 Chicago area Minute Clinic walk-in medical clinics located, as you said, in CVS Pharmacy and Target stores. And why... So February is Heart Health Month. Why does heart health remain such a big issue in the United States?
Well, this is a great question. We've really made tremendous strides in educating Americans about making personal lifestyle changes to help reduce the risk of heart disease, such as quitting tobacco products like smoking. However, the primary issue still remains with the epidemic of obesity that we have in the United States. What this commonly leads to is issues with high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and diabetes, all of which contribute to heart disease.
Yeah, and so what is the best way to monitor your condition? I got to say, you got to know your numbers, right? So you got to get to the doctor and get those numbers. So going to one of the CVS clinics or Target store clinics, that could be a start.
Exactly. You're right on that. Really knowing your numbers. And when we say knowing your numbers, what we're talking about is your cholesterol, your triglycerides, all the little chemicals in your body that are either heart protective or heart damaging. And the best way to get that checked is you can go in to see your primary care doctor, or you can go to one of our minute clinics. At our minute clinic, we use a finger stick where we poke your finger, we get a sample of blood, and we run it through a machine. And within 5 minutes, we have your numbers for you. Again, there are some home electronic equipment available out there that can do it. But the benefit of going into a clinic or seeing your PCP is you'll also have the added benefit of knowing what those numbers mean, because it's one thing to know them, it's another thing to have them interpreted.
Absolutely. Okay, so the great thing is on Valentine's Day, the CVS clinics are going to be conducting free heart health screenings. Is this part of that, or this is separate?
Yes, we are.
Is that part of the screening, the numbers, getting the numbers? Because the numbers are cholesterol. Let's start with the numbers first. The cholesterol number, and there's like three different numbers with that, right?
Yes, there are three numbers. So what we have is your total cholesterol number, which combines the LDL and the HDL. And the LDL is another number that you have, and that's more like your, I call it the lousy cholesterol because it begins with an L, but it's otherwise known as the bad cholesterol. This particular one can build up in the walls of your arteries and increase your chances of heart disease. And typically you want a reading of 100 or less because that would be optimal. Anything above that is considered borderline, and there are things that you can do to help reduce it. Now, the other number that I was telling you that's a component of the total cholesterol is your HDL. And I call this the happy cholesterol or the heart protective. It's otherwise known as the good cholesterol. And what this one does is it protects your heart against heart disease by taking the bad cholesterol out of your blood. Ideally, we want everyone to be at 60 and higher. Anything above 40 is considered normal, but anything below 40 is considered to put you at risk of having major heart disease. And then with the combination of the good stuff and the bad stuff, or the LDL and the HDL, we want it ultimately at 200. And then again, anything over 240 is considered high and would be a time to have a dialogue with your healthcare provider to see what you can do to reduce your total cholesterol.
Yeah. And then, okay, so we've got numbers on your cholesterol. Are there any other numbers that we got to keep track of? Blood pressure, right? Would that be one of them?
Yeah. Yes, blood pressure is another one. There's actually been some recent changes in the blood pressure recommendations. For anyone of the age of 18 to 59 years old, they recommend 140 over 90 or less. And for anyone that's over 60, blood pressure of 150 over 90 or less. However, the ideal and preferred blood pressure would be 120 over 80. And in certain medical conditions, if you had comorbidities such as diabetes or if you had a previous heart attack, then we certainly want to keep a much stricter limitations on your blood pressure. And again, we would prefer it to be 120 over 80. The first number is called a systolic reading. And we like to, again, keep that from 120 or less. And then the second number is a diastolic, which is your heart at rest. And that value we really want to keep at 80 or under. If you were to have high blood pressure, we would recommend to lose weight, making sure that you reduce some salt in your diet. And if you are a smoker, we highly recommend quitting smoking.
Okay, last, what about blood sugar numbers? Is that the
That's another good one.
The birth. Okay.
So a normal range for blood sugar is between 70 to 100. Once you're above 125 with a fasting blood sugar, you are considered to be diabetic, and there will be further testing to make sure that that is a true condition for you. We certainly don't want your body to have too much blood sugar in it. Otherwise, it can put you at risk for having infections, and it can also alter the way your blood vessels are, too, and put you at risk of developing kidney disease and heart disease as well.
Now, this seems to be the growing, this is the growing epidemic here, the diabetes. It's type 2, right? That's where you get it later in life, mostly because of diet and
weight?
Right,
you're correct. Exactly. Type 2 diabetes is the one that we typically see later in life, although obesity is on the climb, so we're actually seeing it in younger adults as well. And this one is linked with obesity and poor diet. So really monitoring your weight and maintaining a healthy weight, which is considered a body mass index, 19 and 24, is one way to help prevent you from developing diabetes, high blood pressure, and cholesterol issues. And then certainly watching what you eat in your diet. You know, we want to make sure that you stay away from things like trans fats and high saturated fat diet, and, of course, limiting sugars as well.
Yeah, kids today eat a lot of sugar. I can't get over the amount of sugar that I see my nieces and nephews and neighbor kids and even my own kids. And it was in the last year we really had an awakening and a real awareness of, wow, this is a lot of sugar. In general, with the way kids are eating, are a lot of kids more at risk because of they're having more sugary drinks, more candies and all that? Or is it partly... you know, is it hit or miss? Is there a hereditary factor in here? Should we really be watching our kids and their intake of sugar on a daily basis? So I'm wondering, when are we in the danger zone with kids? That's what I'm curious about. What age really, if they're starting to eat more and more sugar, does it take a couple of years before it takes effect? Is it reversible? So there are a lot of questions there from a parenting point of view or perspective. We want to know, because I try to limit it, but you know, I can't see what they're doing all day long, and they come home and then there's fruits, and that's still sugar. Sugar is sugar, even in fruit. It's still a good thing. There's fiber in there, but there's still sugar. So but on top of that, they're having a lot of candy and those drinks. Oh my goodness, those drinks. So yeah. So I'll let you answer that question before I go off again. I'm on one of those soapbox shows today. If you listened to the earlier guests.
No, that's fine. And this is all very good points that you bring in. You know, I wouldn't say that it's necessarily a particular age that you have to watch out for. I really believe that it comes down to educating your children by making healthy choices yourself as a parent. We do have some control, you're right. We don't see our children every single day, every moment of every single day, so we can't make those decisions for them. But we can certainly control what comes into our house and encourage healthier eating habits and styles by what we bring to the table for the children and what we go grocery shopping for as well. So I would say from a parent perspective, encouraging drinking water. Of course, they can have their milk if they need to get their dairy in. But then overall, making sure that you limit buying products that have a lot of high trans fats, as are fast food restaurants, which I know are convenient, especially with families on the go and when we're having children that are in multiple activities. I believe you mentioned that your children were in sports. But, you know, trying to stay away from those fried foods, packaged foods like cookies, snack cakes, and crackers. Limiting overall saturated fat, so staying away from all the really heavy, fattier cuts of red meats and the heavier dairy products, and trying some leaner cuts, eating more poultry, and certainly fish. Fish is a great diet supplement. It has wonderful omega-3 fatty acids, which are heart protective and vascular protective, so I really encourage eating them. And then trying to make sure if you have dairy in your diet when you do, to use a low-fat dairy product. And then certainly cutting back on sugars, such as your beverages, as you were pointing out, you'd be shocked to know how much sugar is in your typical soda can, obviously your candy and your baked goods. I'm not saying you can't have any of this. We just need to teach our kids that moderation is good. And if you're...
Right.
Wanting something sweet, reaching for an apple, for an orange, for grapes, you know, getting our sweet through a natural vegetable or fruit is going to be healthier than them taking a processed bar that might have, might have some fruit benefit in it, but it has some other processed chemicals as well.
Yeah. Stay around the perimeter of the grocery store. That's what I've been told. Or do what I've been doing lately is order online. You won't be tempted to reach for. But these commercials, these grocery stores online, will find a way to figure out how they can still get those processed foods in, be flashing images before our eyes while we're reaching for the grapes or clicking on to buy oranges or something like that. So, yeah, just be mindful of that. The other thing is, I have a question for you. So about, you know, kids, we're all about going in for our checkups as adults and checking our numbers. When is a good age, especially for the blood sugar level? Because I'm concerned as a parent myself, and I'm wondering, I don't really get, you know, I don't know how much sugar is too much on a daily basis. There's a lot of sugar in products that I'm not even aware of, that you think it's a healthy product like a granola bar, but there's tons of sugar in it. Then your kid goes off to his game and he has a huge bottle of Gatorade, you know, or a various other form of drink, and there's sugar there. And then after the game, it's going out for ice cream. Is that like skyrocketing sugar for the day? Should, you know, what is normal for kids? I guess we need to be educated better, these us parents. And then, you know, I guess getting back to the main the question that I really wanted to get answered is it, are the kids too young, or are they ever too young to get their blood sugar level checked? And I wonder if insurance is covering that these days for the kids, since, you know, diabetes is becoming this epidemic of sorts.
Well, the recommendation is usually to start doing screening when you're between the age of 20 to 45. You really should be getting your cholesterol checked at least every 5 years. I always encourage going for those annual physicals, because we'll be able to pick up as healthcare providers signs and symptoms that there could be an indication that there's some insulin intolerance and concerns for diabetes. And in that case is when we would order the labs. But usually when you're in your 20s is when we're going to start really screening for your cholesterol levels and your blood sugar as well. But if you have any concerns with your child presenting with excessive thirst, excessive urination, you know, they're losing weight, but they're eating a lot and you're really concerned, those would be signs to bring them into the doctor or into your primary care, whether that's a nurse practitioner, physician assistant, to be evaluated further.
Yeah, for diabetes. I know that's one of those symptoms, increased urination and thirst, for sure. Wow, this has been an interesting talk and enlightening, and also very good for us to be mindful of our numbers, remembering that we got to take care of that heart, that ticker. And February is Heart Health Month. Go to your local CVS or Target, and you can get a free screening, free heart screening, right?
Yes, it's a free heart screening
for
on February 14th.
Okay.
From 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at all of our.
Okay.
No, we're a walk-in clinic, so you can walk in from 10 to 1 on February 14th, which is Tuesday. So love yourself by loving your heart and finding out your numbers. We'll be happy to give you a free biometric screening at that time, and you just sign in.
Well, thank you so much, Jen, for your time.
Yes,
really
my pleasure. Thank you, Dolly. This has been great.
Come back on the show again. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we're almost out of time, folks. Real quick, we got to end the show. I always like to end it on a good note. Stay positive and be good, everybody. Be good to each other. Be good to your hearts. Go get it checked out. Thank you, CBS, for coming on the show. And Jen Nabong, who gave us lots of good tips. We really appreciate that. If you haven't done so already, please like the Dolly McCarthy Show. Follow it on Facebook or Twitter. And let me know. Let me know what the good word is. Send me messages on those social media sites. We love it. Oh, I want to do a quick shout-out to the Paramount Theater. Check out ParamountAurora.com. Their new show, Sweeney Todd, coming out February 8th through March 19th. Check it out. Director Jim Cordy, what a great guy. What a great director he is. Check him out. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a good one.
Ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the Dolly McCarthy Show.